You have just been performing Harinam Sankirtan through the streets of central Mangalore, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I congratulate you for that. I was not physically present with you due to some physical complaint, some minor injury, but I was there with you in spirit, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the recommended process for God realization in this age. Not many people are interested in God realization. Anushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye yatatapi siddhana kaschid nam veti tattvataha. Very few people are interested in spiritual life, one among thousands. But those who, even those who are apparently quite successful in spiritual life, very few may actually understand Krishna. Of course, there are many religious people and many people promoting meditation, yoga, various religious or almost religious ways of life. But to understand Krishna, which is the ultimate perfection of life, not many people come to that. There's various reasons for that. The basic reason is because everyone is in this material world for the purpose of forgetting Krishna. They may even believe in God, but they don't accept Krishna. That's strange, isn't it? We find people who we believe in God, but we know God and they'll give so many different names, but they don't accept Krishna. Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness not as a religion. When people asked him about this, Srila Prabhupada was often interviewed by newspaper and TV journalists, and they would ask typical question, well, in your religion, what do you believe? And Srila Prabhupada would say, it is not a question of belief, it is a science. And at this point, the interviewers would usually become confused because it certainly looks like a religion, you see. An elderly Indian Swami in dress, which certainly is highly suggestive that he is a religious representative, and his followers very clearly appear to be engaged in religion. They don't look like scientists. They're not walking around with white overcoats on, and they're not quoting scientific formula. They're quoting Bhagavad Gita. That's religion, isn't it? What's the science? Why call it a science? So Srila Prabhupada would explain by referring to the dictionary, referring to the authority. What does the word religion mean? And the word religion in the dictionary, Srila Prabhupada had obviously consulted that, means a kind of faith. But Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not a faith, it is a science. What does science mean? It means study of that which is factual. Religion is distinguished from science. Science is considered by scientists, by realists, persons who consider themselves realists, to be the study of that which is factual and ascertainable. And religion is an emotional attachment to something which is not ascertainable. In other words, or the implication of this, is that science is for level-headed, intelligent people who have a methodology, an intelligent methodology for ascertaining what is factual and what is not. And religion is for sentimentalists who just believe something, but it's not ascertainable, and therefore any religion can be considered as good as any other because they're all more or less imaginary in the eyes of those who consider themselves to be scientific materialists. There's no proof of any, it's just it's a mental construct which has no actual basis in reality according to the persons of scientific outlook. And the persons of so-called scientific outlook look down on religion even more because persons who are religious are often very fanatical about it also. Even though there's no proof of what they believe in, they accept it so seriously that they base their whole life on it. They follow rules and regulations which restrict their enjoyment based on religious belief. They propagate that among others. Their whole worldview is not based on anything scientific or reasonable, but on some ancient ravings of uninformed people, and can be very dangerous also, as is often stated by so-called scientific atheists, that religion is the cause of so many problems in the world, so many wars and fighting. And you see at the present time that terrorism is mostly perpetrated on the basis of religious belief. So the surprise of journalists when Srila Prabhupada would say that Krishna consciousness is not a religion or not a question of belief, it is a science. So the surprise of the interviewers at Srila Prabhupada's reply was based on this understanding that Srila Prabhupada appeared to be presenting something quite different from science. Religion is considered something quite different from science. And Srila Prabhupada, if we consider religion and science as two completely opposite poles of the spectrum of human, what shall we say, viewpoints or epistemological enterprises, methods of ascertaining reality, then Srila Prabhupada appeared to be wholly unscientific and wholly religious, but Srila Prabhupada rejected that. He said, no, we're not religious in the sense that it's normally considered scientific. Now, why is scientific? Srila Prabhupada would explain that, because science means that, or it's thought to mean, of course, what it's thought to mean and what it is presented as is quite different from the reality often. Science, there are many mystical factors also. But anyway, the classic understanding of science has been something that is ascertainable. It's predictable and ascertainable. For instance, very simply, if we mix acid and alkali, of course there's no pure acid or alkali, they have to be dissolved in water, but if we mix acid and alkali, there will be a reaction and the residue after the reaction, there will be salt and water, various salts depending on which acids and which alkalis are used. So it's predictable. It happens every time. And we can safely say that we have two mixtures, and one is supposed to be an acid and one is supposed to be an alkali, but we put them together and there's no reaction. We can either consider that they're either very weak acids or alkalis, or they're not. Maybe both are alkali or both are acids. We can, this is a scientific procedure. This is a very simple example. But at much more complex levels also, the scientific method allows us to, for instance, from crude oil, to process that and using various chemical procedures to produce various fuels, fabrics, plastics. So those who know the science, they know how to take oil and process it in various ways to produce various substances. So science means that which is ascertainable, predictable, practical, useful. Whereas religion is something which is just a question of belief. That's the definition. And not in itself very practical. Well, that's maybe. Some people have a little more generous nature than the absolutely hard-headed atheistic scientist who say that, yes, religion is not really it's not really very meaningful, but it's good because it helps people to live a more moral life, and religious people, they often help others. Although they may also, some people on the basis of religion, kill others also. Of course, in the modern age, much of the killing that goes on in the name of religion is much more effectively done than it was in previous ages due to scientific advancement. That you can, instead of religiously chopping people's heads off with swords, nowadays you can religiously blow people up with modern explosives developed by scientists. So anyway, these are complex discussions about the moral worth of science and religion, but what is the basis of Srila Prabhupada's claim that Krishna consciousness is a science? Well, the literature which Krishna consciousness is based on in itself presents that this is not, from the very beginning, it presents this is not just a belief, but it is factual knowledge. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam lakshami asheshata yaj gyatva neha bhuvam yaj gyatavyam avashishyate. Lord Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that I shall now declare unto you all knowledge, both phenomenal and noumenal, that of the material and of the spiritual, by knowing which nothing more shall remain to be known. Krishna doesn't say, I shall now tell you something which you have to believe in, otherwise you'll burn in hell forever. But he says, I shall, and he, Krishna, Lord Krishna, goes on to speak in a scientific manner. He talks about the elements. In modern chemistry, there are elements, over 100, from time to time they discover or create even artificial elements. The Vedic concept of elements is somewhat different, but the principle is the same. The principle is to analyze matter, breaking it down into its components. So, Lord Krishna, he doesn't simply talk some vague mumbo-jumbo, but he analyzes the nature of this material world, both at the elemental level, bhumirapo nalo vayu kammano buddhire vachana. Ahankara iti amme bhina prakriti ashtadha. Lord Krishna analyzes. There are gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, which is akash, that is counted among the gross elements, although it's quite subtle. But because it interacts with earth, water, fire, and air, therefore it's counted among the gross elements, then man, buddhi, ahanka, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these are the subtle elements, different type of elements. And apart from that, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he describes the another kind of subtle influence, that of the Triguna, the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajogun, Tamogun, and their influence upon the consciousness of the living being. And Lord Krishna analyzes that in this material world, what is going on, there are the material, gross and subtle forces, but these are influenced by consciousness. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam lakshami asheshatah. Both phenomenal and the material knowledge, or the material aspect of the material world, we say the material world, is there. But there is the spiritual aspect also, and it is the spiritual, or the aspect of consciousness, which is ultimately influencing this material world. Lord Krishna states elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita that Mamaivangsho Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana Mana Shashtan Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. That all living beings, jivas, they are Krishna's parts. They are spiritual by nature. But struggling with the mind and the senses within the material situation. Aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva-bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. There are the elements within this material world, but what is the source of activity? Lord Krishna says that is the spirit soul. That's what makes the world move on. The most important question, which the mundane scientists do not ask, is why? What is the basis of everything? Why is everything going on? Why is iron attracted to a magnet? Why do acid and alkali interact? Why is there sexual attraction? According to Darwin's theory, it is the struggle for existence and the survival of the fittest. But if, as the atheistic scientists say, everything is simply matter, then why should one combination of matter desire to remain in that form and struggle and fight with other combinations of matter? This microphone, if I try to smash it, which I won't, don't worry, just saying it as an example, it won't protest. The people from the company, they will protest. The microphone is, it's a complex apparatus, but it has no perception of pleasure or pain. If we sing sweetly, or if we sing off key, out of tune, out of time, people will notice the difference. Some people notice the difference. Some people, those who are singing like that, they don't notice the difference, unfortunately. Others who have some musical sensitivity, they notice the difference. If the microphone doesn't make any difference whatsoever, even if the microphone it busts due to electrical overload or too much sound, like bust the amplifier, but there's no feeling of pain or pleasure under any circumstances for anything which is holy material. This body is also material. But if someone sings out of time, out of tune, off key, then the Atma within this body will notice that it's not pleasing. And if one brings a hammer to assault a human being or an ant or any living being, they will protest due to pain. Maybe an elephant, just now in Udupi, we saw an elephant. An elephant might not protest because an elephant is such a big, strong animal. It might take being hit with a hammer as a kind of massage. It'd be difficult to hurt an elephant. For that you need the ankush. I don't know what it's called in Tamil. What's it called in English? I can't remember. Goad. Elephant's goad. Sanskrit, it's called ankush. You stick it into the... It's got a spike. that can hurt the elephant. So, there's clearly a difference between the living and the non-living. Living beings feel hunger, thirst, pleasure, pain. When another living being dies, they lament, or in some cases they may celebrate, "My enemy died." Whereas, that's not only in human society. We see even if, talking about elephants, we'll find that if one elephant in the herd is somehow killed, there's some case in Thailand, the baby elephant was killed by a train going through the jungle area. And then the next train that came, all the elephants were waiting for it to take revenge. They were upset. The train had killed itself. But if there's a whole row of microphones, and someone comes with a hammer, boom, boom, and breaks them all, it's not that one microphone has any sensitivity. It may have sensitivity to sound, that is, it is designed like that. That's only in how it picks up and sends signals to the amplifier. It has no personal consciousness of sound or of anything else. So this is a major, outstanding, astonishing gap in the scientific method. Which Lord Krishna addresses in Bhagavad Gita. The influence of consciousness on matter, on life, on everything. Consciousness is that by which every body or every living being interacts with, perceives, forms opinions about, gathers knowledge about everything else. But science, until recently, took absolutely no notice of consciousness. And that now, just in the last few years, some scientists have been trying to ascertain the nature of consciousness, but they won't be able to, because they are striving by the wrong means. They think that everything, they think that the scientific method is restricted to observation, hypothesis, experimentation on the basis of that hypothesis, and then ascertainment of fact. This is the scientific method. But if we have the preconceived notion, as atheistic scientists, or those who consider themselves real scientists do, that consciousness, like everything else, if we're to study it scientifically, it must come, if it's to be studied scientifically, it must come within the parameters of scientific understanding. That means it must be a product of matter. That is their a priori assumption. That's their assumption. They presume that this is the only way to study it. But in Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of consciousness, Lord Krishna, from the very beginning, explains that consciousness is a different kind of energy than that of matter, and therefore cannot be understood in a material way. The methodology is wrong. An intelligent person, the methodology of the scientist to try to understand reality without accepting the non-material nature of consciousness. It is flawed from the very beginning, doomed to failure. So even within science, within different disciplines, there are different methodologies. If we want to measure the refraction of light, it's useless to bring litmus paper and a Bunsen burner. Litmus paper and a Bunsen burner have their uses in scientific procedures, but they're absolutely no use for observing or measuring the refraction of light. So the science of understanding consciousness, like every other science, has to be approached by appropriate means. Everything has to be done by appropriate means. If you want, when we want to eat, we place the food in our mouths. You might think, well, the nose is also a hole. It's just boring putting it in my mouth. Why don't I try putting it through my nose? It's a foolish proposal. Only a madman would think of doing that. So, the idea that consciousness, or first of all, the denial of the ignoring the importance of consciousness, that has been a massive gap in the scientific attempt to explain reality. Now they're just trying to broach that subject, but why don't they see? That's already there in Bhagavad Gita. That's not been ignored by Lord Krishna. It's already... Lord Krishna didn't make the same mistake as the empiric scientists of ignoring the importance of consciousness. And even now, although a few scientists are examining the nature of consciousness, they haven't understood the paramount position that everything is based on consciousness. We can't measure anything, whether we have Bunsen burners or prisms or everything goes through consciousness. Everything that we perceive, everything we hypothesize, it's all based on consciousness. So actually, Krishna consciousness is the supreme science. It's the most ancient science. Because people are dull-headed, they think that we have nothing to learn from Bhagavad Gita. Or that's some kind of religious belief. So Bhagavad Gita is the basic text of the Krishna consciousness movement. And examining the same subjects in a deeper manner is Srimad Bhagavatam, which deals with the same subjects. And from the very beginning, the Srimad Bhagavatam declares that it is a treatise on the nature of ultimate reality. Srimad Bhagavatam does not introduce itself, or the Srimad Bhagavatam is not introduced as a book of religious belief. It begins with stating that this is delineation of Satyam Param, Supreme Reality. And what is that? What is the nature of the Supreme Reality? The Supreme Reality is that from which everything emanates, in which everything exists, into which everything must ultimately enter. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, inajatani jivanti, yattayatya visangvishanti, tat vijigyasasva, tat brahmeti. That absolute, or the ultimate reality, is not perceivable by the senses, or not perceivable by mundane means. It's independent of any other level of reality. There is a level of reality beyond that which can be measured, touched, felt, or perceived by any material means, nor is it dependent on anything else for its existence. That Supreme Reality is also cognizant of everything. Tene Brahma Vida Ya Adi Kavi, that Supreme Reality infused knowledge into the heart of Brahma, the first living being. Who can understand? Muhyanti Surya. This even highly intelligent beings whose material intelligence is far more than hundreds of Einsteins, even they are bewildered to understand this, which suggests that material consciousness cannot approach that ultimate reality. Tejo Vari Mridang Yatha Vinimeo Yatra Trisago Mrisha. That Supreme Reality, how does that bewilder the demigods? Just like an example is given, just like water is sometimes seen on land, or land in fire, although it doesn't actually exist. That's called a mirage. So in this way, bewildered by the material world, we perceive it as reality, but it's not actual reality. And in all phases of time, past, present, and future, that reality is reality. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. That ultimate reality exists in a sphere which is beyond the illusion which we are always subject to in this material world. Now that's very interesting, because we're talking about science. Science means to try to ascertain what is reality. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, which points to this Supreme Reality, points out that you're trying to ascertain everything which is real, but by its very nature, this material world is anyway unreal. Because, various reasons for that. One reason is that nothing is permanent. Nothing here is permanent. It's just here today, gone tomorrow. So it's not ultimate reality. It's like the reality or the design in a kaleidoscope, which is seen for a second and then gone, never to return again, on a bubble in the ocean. It's there for a second, pop, gone, never to return again. Other bubbles may come, but that bubble is gone forever. So in this way, everything in this material world has a beginning and an end, but the Supreme Truth is beyond that. So if Krishna consciousness is so scientific, then why do people think that it is a religion? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that ultimate reality as Krishna. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nanda gopa vrajoka sam. Yan mitram. Yan mitram paramam brahm. What is it? Yan mitram paramam satyam brahma. Param brahma sanatana. Sukadeva Goswami describes how fortunate Ananda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan, because the Supreme Truth was already described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the ultimate reality beyond the illusion of this material world. Yan mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. That same supreme, complete truth is full of bliss and is the object of love for Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan. So we find in Srimad Bhagavatam descriptions of Krishna as the butter thief, as the thief of the clothes of the gopis, who killed various asuras, demons, descriptions of whom seem fantastic in the modern age because we don't see such demons as, for instance, Putana, who appeared as a beautiful woman, but then after she died, she assumed a very ugly, monstrous, witch-like form. We don't see demons like Aghasura, a massive python, who, when he opened his mouth, his mouth stretched up to the clouds. We don't see such demons. They may appear to be imaginary or some story. No such beings can exist, we may think. And Krishna, people, they sing, they dance. This Hare Krishna movement is an ancient culture. People in India, in various parts of India, have been worshipping Krishna for hundreds and thousands of years. In various parts of India, they worship him in various ways, but inherent in that worship is singing, dancing, telling stories. This is religion. It's belief in something which doesn't seem to be very much true. It would appear to be just something which appeals to simple minds. But the same Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna as the butter thief, as the cowherder, begins the description of Krishna by describing him as the Param Satyam in a very scientific manner, delineating his position as completely different from and above everything material, including material perception or materialistic consciousness. So it appears to be like religion. And for many people, it may be religion. They don't scientifically try to understand who is Krishna. They have faith in Krishna. In the same way that some people may have faith in Allah, Jesus. Or in the modern age, there are people who have faith in various Babas. In India, in Hinduism, people have faith in various Babas and Bappas and Ammas, and it's a matter of faith. There's no serious philosophical investigation or consideration. People, they see some magic generated from some Baba, or they feel that due to some Baba, their problems were solved, their business improved, or they feel good in the presence of some Amma or something like this. It's not scientific. It's very much on the subjective platform. But Srila Prabhupada, he did not. Of course, he encouraged everyone to chant Hare Krishna. But he established that, not simply on the basis of faith. Believe this. Why? Well, I said so. No, not at all. Srila Prabhupada would explain how anyone who is actually intelligent and philosophically inclined to understand reality, if they examine Krishna consciousness as presented in Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam, they will find that this is a perfect exposition of reality. All the gaps in scientific understanding, all the anomalies in religious, sentimental faith are all resolved in the science of Krishna consciousness. Science, because it is ascertainable. It's Krishna consciousness presents a systematic worldview which covers every aspect of reality. It is integral and complete. And it works. Those who take to Krishna consciousness, it is seen that their consciousness improves, and the manner that they interact with the world changes to a completely different kind of consciousness to that of materialistic people. Materialistic people, whether religious sentimentalists or fanatics, or scientific dogmatists, so what they call empiricists, their dogma is that we only believe, we can only accept that which is ascertainable. But they all, from the platform of Krishna conscious understanding, they're more or less in the same position, that they're both the so-called religionists and the so-called scientists are both in the position of putting themselves in the center and considering that reality is something for me to enjoy. What exists, whatever there is, I should be happy. The scientists, why are they so busy to work? They think we're improving life. We're doing something good for human society. Why should they bother if we're all just combinations of chemicals? What is the meaning of improving human society? There's no meaning to it whatsoever. There's no meaning to feelings. There's no meaning to anything. And religionists, they think, well, we'll be by the grace of God, we'll be better off in this world or in the next. So both, they basically have the same outcome. Whereas Krishna consciousness, that is an exposition of reality, that we are not the ultimate reality. We are not the center. There is a center of existence. There is a center of everything. But because we don't know what that is, or because we haven't even understood that there is a center of existence, therefore we try to put ourselves in the center and everything appears to be chaotic. We can't find how everything fits together. The answer is that Krishna is the center of everything. And our enjoyment, and the idea that we should enjoy, that is a state of consciousness, which if we remain in, we can never actually understand anything. It's an unscientific and unreligious state of consciousness. It's unscientific because thinking that we should enjoy or human society should be benefited, it's a grossly inadequate approach to reality. Because we are very tiny living beings, and even the whole of human society is subordinate to the center. Everything revolves around the center. Everything is meant for the pleasure of the center. And religionists who think, I will worship God and God will help me. That is also self-centered. So they both have the same disease. So therefore it's very difficult to present this understanding of Krishna consciousness, because people either sentimentally or so-called scientifically think that my self-interest is promoting my own well-being at the expense of others. The modern scientific outlook has led us to think that we can destroy the whole earth so that we can enjoy it better. And this idea, myself or my group, we should get the blessings of God and everyone else should go to hell. Believe in my religion. If you don't believe it, only those who follow my religion, they are saved. Everyone else goes to hell. This is a kind of self-promotion. We are better. Everyone else is doomed. We shall enjoy watching God burning everyone else in hell. It's a macabre outlook. Ghostly. Very nasty outlook. Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness as a science. So we may say, well, we see people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they're also who are materialistic, but are they really practicing? That has to be seen. If one is actually practicing Krishna consciousness, then he's not interested in promoting his own material assets or prestige or any such thing. There's a different outlook altogether. He might appear to be interested in promoting his own material assets or prestige, but he may do so for the sake of promoting Krishna consciousness. That's also possible. So obviously this science of Krishna consciousness, it's not something to be understood. All the aspects of it, the details of it, it's not something to be accepted simply on blind faith. There's a great background to this which requires to be understood by careful examination learning from experienced practitioners. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to present this science of Krishna consciousness to the intellectual class of people, so that if they could understand this and implement this, there would be a revolution in the whole course of human society, which is presently misled by all the intelligent people of the world being engaged in scientific activities meant for promoting the idea is to promote a better situation for human society without understanding God. God is not necessary. If you like, some people even believe in God, but it's not necessary. It's a personal thing. It's up to you. If you want, you can. But persons who are really helping others are doctors, researchers, technologists. That's the idea. But we see that in the name of science, there has been so much scientific advancement, but people are not happy for that. There's so much chaos and confusion in human society. So clearly, a change is required, a change in outlook. Some people are recommending let's promote ecology, more simple life. That in itself is not the solution. Whole change of outlook is required. So Srila Prabhupada shocked people by saying that Krishna consciousness is not a religion, it's a science. And he proceeded to explain how that is so. He didn't want people just to take to it as simply a belief that makes you feel good. He wanted that people understand this, and that's why he himself spoke in a philosophical, scientific manner, on and on and on. I'm not going to speak on and on and on now, because many of you have to move on. You come from Tamil Nadu and your tickets booked to go back tonight, and you have limited time. So I